Pull those belts tight, put on your helmet, and grab a gear. It's time for another high-speed episode of Race Chaser Media's Motorsports Madness, powered by MyComputerCareer.edu. Training for a better life. Let's throw the green and send it to the hosts in the studio.
Hello. Welcome to another week of Madness. My name is Tom Baker, and I am joined in the WSIC studio in Statesville, North Carolina, by my cohorts. Peter Strada from the Sports Journal is here. Randy Miller from the Inside Pass is here. Chris Murdoch is here, and I'm here as well.
So we're, if he's from TRJ and I'm from
PSJ,
sorry.
Wow.
And I'm from – shut up.
You shut up.
Why are you the one meeting me?
Randy needs a MyComputerCareer.edu reboot. We haven't even gotten into the first segment.
If we are from each our individual shows, then where is Chris from?
His mother.
From both?
Came from his parents.
He's
from Ohio. That's where he's from. Yeah.
If I broadcast that or not.
Now, there's nothing wrong with Ohio.
I have relatives.
The Buckeyes, but that's a whole other
story. My whole family came from Ohio, too, so I'm just saying.
That's why I don't like you.
Well, at least the truth came out. So
now, how close are the two of you?
I have to figure it out.
Where did you come from?
We don't have enough time in this commercial break.
Where did you come from?
City.
Existential.
Well, I'd have to look it up. I don't remember.
He doesn't remember where he was born.
No, I wasn't. I was born in Texas. My family.
Oh, your family. I see. Okay, I got you. So you have roots in Ohio.
I have roots in Ohio.
Gotcha. Ohio, Texas, North Carolina. You've been your family's done some frequent flyer miles.
Well, my dad's done some frequent flyer miles.
Anyway, we're going to hear from Hunter Yeaney a little later in the show. Hunter is a rising F4 racer, drives for VRD, and
he's not from Ohio.
He's not from Ohio. He's actually from Virginia, very close to where Noah Lewis is from, our co-host, who has been off for the summer.
Are some deep roots, too.
Yes. Hunter is going to be joining us to talk to us later on about his career, and you'll enjoy hearing from him. Next week, we've got his teammate, Nico Christodoulou, who's a Canadian. He's going to be on the show, so that'll be fun, too. And we've got a whole bunch of stuff to talk about. The Music City Grand Prix, NASCAR at the Glen, F1's still off, but that's okay. We'll fill in very nicely here. Unfortunately, though, we are going to start the show on a sad note when we return to Motorsports Madness right after this.
Do you love the sound of high-revving motors and the smell of burning rubber? Do you want to get your car sideways right at the ragged edge of control? If you've always wanted to try drifting or learn to improve your drifting skills, Summit Point Motorsports Park, the Mid-Atlantic's premier motorsports facility, has the expert instructors and the specialized track to teach you how to drift and the skills necessary to drift competitively. From skid pad to open sessions, Summit Point Motorsports Park has the safe and open environment that allows drifters of all skills levels, new to intermediate, to get sideways and smoking. With a focus on safety and the skill set necessary to drift competitively, Summit Point Motorsports Park's Drift Nirvana is just the thing for you. Call for your reservation today, 304-725-8444. Or for more information, go online, summitpoint-raceway.com, or you can email them at office@bsrinc.com. Drift Nirvana, getting you sideways the right way.
Victory Custom Trailers is the place to go for your next new or used trailer or coach. Being personally involved in the racing community allows Victory to fully understand what racers need in a trailer. They have over 200 coaches and trailers in stock for a variety of industries, and they can serve anyone in the continental U.S. If you're looking for something custom, they can assist in designing a trailer to fit your needs. Check out their entire inventory online at victorycustomtrailers.com.
I'm Andrew Saul, Commissioner of Social Security. Beware of telephone scammers pretending to be government employees. Real Social Security employees will never threaten you. Callers threatening you with arrest or other legal action and demanding money are not from us. If you receive a call like this, hang up, do not provide them with any form of payment or information. Report the call at oig.ssa.gov.
What an awesome game. What's up with your car?
I don't know. It won't start.
How are we getting home?
Chill. My parents signed me up for the roadside assistance from Lewis Meineke. It was free with my oil change. They would come and get the car started or get us home and tow the car to the shop.
Good to know. With my driving, my parents never know what to expect.
When you join the Meineke Car Care Club with a $35 preferred service, you get 4 free months of roadside assistance, including tire change, battery jump, lockout service, towing, and more. Contact Lewis Meineke, located on Route 1, or call 827-2054.
When do you think of a plumber? Like most people, even if it's an emergency, you can be confident about who will arrive to help you. For quality and reliability, count on someone you can trust. Call on the plumbing services of Hague Quality Water of Maryland. Plumbing doesn't have to be an emergency. We handle all kinds of preventative maintenance, too. Hague Quality Water of Maryland is family-owned here in Annapolis since 1993. For a refreshing choice, call us at 888-84-WATER or visit us online.
Bryson, and you're listening to Motorsports Madness. Now back to the show.
Welcome back. Madness getting started here, and sadly, guys, I hate when we have to start shows on a sad note, but we do this week because just as this show was getting ready to record, we got the word that a longtime play-by-play announcer in various forms of motorsport, Bob Jenkins, passed away at the age of 73. Gosh, I mean, this one hits me hard because, Randy, you and I are old enough to remember the Thursday Night Thunder shows on ESPN back in the early 80s. Golly, Bob Jenkins, Larry Neuber, Dave Despain, Larry Rice later on. I remember being at Anderson Speedway for the Little 500 one year, and Larry Rice and Larry Neuber and Bob Jenkins were there. They weren't doing a Thunder, but they were there, and it was just to be able to be in the same room. I didn't actually get to meet Bob, but did meet Larry Rice. But, golly, that just hurts.
Yeah, and when you talk about that kind of personality that they had, I mean, they were like rock stars. I mean, they came into a place that wasn't even filming Thursday Night Thunder. It's like, oh, my God, Bob Jenkins is here. But he's the kind of announcer, and it's very rare for me personally to have somebody that's like this. But growing up watching Thursday Night Thunder, I could close my eyes and see what was going on just from hearing his voice call the action. He never got excited. He never got – he was always just the same, you know, calm, cool, collected announcer. But just the way he was describing things is almost like a, you know, radio broadcast come to life. I mean, you could close your eyes and be able to see what was going on just by hearing his voice call those races.
Yeah. Peter, Chris said earlier that Bob Jenkins may have been this generation's Chris Economaki, but the reality is that I compare Bob more to a Mike Joy or an Alan Bestwick in a lot of ways because they could direct a broadcast or direct the play-by-play when they had analysts around them without being they weren't the show. They were just the sort of captains of the show. They would just steer the show and let the other announcers take over. And they just had that way about them. And when Bob was calling Indy, it didn't really, I mean, my gosh, his voice, he was, like Randy said, very calm, almost as if he was just sort of teaching it to you as much as he was, you know, bringing it to you, like a very visual guy.
And let me clarify when I say that Bob Jenkins was the Chris Economaki of this generation. I'm mostly talking about name. Chris Economaki was a household name.
Every time you heard
you know, the Economaki name, you knew exactly who they were talking about.
Yep.
And with Jenkins, you knew exactly, you know, Thursday Night Thunder, IndyCar, you know exactly who we're talking about, you know.
Just, I can't echo what y'all said more than what's already been said. I mean, he's just
was such a constant on so many different forms of racing, whether that be NASCAR and ESPN, the Indy 500 for so many decades, or Thursday Night Thunder, like we went into on the Inside Pass earlier. Just he was such a constant figure, a constant voice, and just some of his iconic calls, whether that be Jeff Gordon winning the inaugural Brickyard 400 or Alan Kulwicki getting the Winston Cup back in 1992. Just he's ingrained with so many historic moments in North American motorsports history, the closest Indy 500 ever. I mean, the list just goes on and on and on.
That's very true.
Yeah. I mean, just this is a big loss. I mean, he'd been sick for a while. And, you know, I think everybody knew that, you know, eventually, but boy, you know, sometimes it's just one of those things. No matter how much you know something is coming, it's impossible to prepare. He had awoken Christmas night in 2020 with a severe headache. Tests initially showed a stroke, but later revealed two malignant tumors. And so just a very, very tough last year or so for him. But he was as strong as could be and just was as classy and you know, gosh, just a great guy. I want to read this quote in the NASCAR.com article from Jenkins, because I think it exemplifies him perfectly. And it goes like this. You know what I tell people often when they ask me how this whole thing of my career came together? I tell them, you know, I don't know, because I've only been a race fan who got lucky. And I think that's what I will have on my tombstone, because it's true. I don't think you could wrap Bob Jenkins up into any tighter of a bow than that. He was a race fan who was as passionate about the sport as anybody who's ever been involved with it. And he just had a way of describing that to us without making us feel, you know, it was always just a very calm, very, very prepared delivery, very prepared announcer too.
I mean, he beat colon cancer in the '80s, I believe too. So he had already beaten cancer once, and then he lost his wife to the same cancer several years ago. So, yeah. So just an unfortunate thing. Cancer sucks.
It sure does. Cancer sucks. Exactly right. So our deepest prayers and condolences go out to Bob's family and everyone who knew and loved him, because that's certainly a big, big loss. Okay, so we move on here as we continue with this show, the Music City Grand Prix, speaking of IndyCar, was held at Nashville this weekend. I'm going to call it first annual because you know it's going to happen again.
I believe it's a three-year deal.
Yeah, this race. I think it'll be a lot longer.
It's a journalist no-no, by the way, but I get what you're saying.
Well, you know, I'm just going to say it. First annual.
You know it's going to happen annually, so you just
say annual. I'm just saying first annual. Did the course, guys, I'll go around the table, did the course live up to the hype, Peter?
The course had a couple issues, but overall, the field of drivers eventually learned this course. It took close to half the race for them to learn this course and took out a couple contenders, but ultimately, they did eventually learn this course. Would I like to see some tweaks made for next year and beyond? Yes, but overall, if I had to grade the course, I'd give it maybe a B-.
And don't forget that the eventual winner had a great view of the track for a while, because he was like 35 feet in the air.
He's going for a pilot's license.
He saw the whole track from the air.
For those who missed it, Marcus Ericsson flat ran over Sebastian Bourdais early in the race. Just drove right up over the back end of him, launched about 10 feet in the air, came down, crew came in, and I mean, it's a real credit to the team that they were able to just slap a new nose on, and out he went. It didn't do any damage to the underside of the car at all, and he was able to come back and win, which was a real story and a real credit to him, but a crazy way to start the race. I think the course, for the most part, I think lived up to the hype. There are still too many places where it's just too tight, typical street course, but I think the majority of the issues in that race were just caused by bad driving. I mean, I think the course may have contributed to one or two of the, 9, I think, that they had, or 10 cautions. I think most of it was just poor driving on the driver's parts. And, it's kind of too bad because that race really, I think, could have been much, much better had some of the guys just not been quite so aggressive, especially early on in the event. I didn't feel like there was a whole lot of patience on some drivers' parts there early on, and just some I think willpower was just out of control from lap one, basically. Dumped two of his teammates.
He was a little flapper on the pinball machine.
Yeah, he just...
he was trying to go bowling at the Glen. Just at the
he was at the wrong race. Should have been going bowling at the Glen. You're right. But it's that was really surprising because Will is not usually that aggressive. But I don't know. It was just tough. 100-degree heat. You know, overall, though, and we'll talk about this more in the next segment, but overall, I thought the event... I'm not talking the race. The overall event, I thought, was extraordinary. And there were a number of other races there prior to the IndyCar race that week last weekend that were just great races. So we're going to have more conversation about the Music City Grand Prix when we come back around the turn here as Motorsports Madness continues, presented by My Computer Career.
How to be a great dad in 15 seconds. Bike ride, go fish, walk in the park, phone call, milkshake, play catch, picnic, fly a kite, tell jokes, laugh, talk, read a story, tell a story, bumper car, swing set, bowling, pillow fight, cut loose, stay tight. Whew. Because the smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Automotive technicians and auto service trainees, how would you like to work at the beach and perform for one of the best car care centers in the nation? Lewis Meineke is now looking for skilled automotive technicians to join their award-winning team. If you're a gearhead that knows his or her stuff, or a young up-and-comer that has the motivation and drive to succeed, then you need to make this call today. 302-827-2054. Lewis Meineke Car Care Center, located in beautiful Lewis, Delaware, offers a highly competitive compensation plan, great benefits, a flexible schedule, and did we mention that you're going to be working at the beach? Plus, there's a signing bonus for the right candidates. Technicians must be ASE certified and have a minimum of 6 years' experience. Beginners, advance at your own pace in one of several entry-level positions. But whatever you do, don't wait. These jobs will go fast. Call Tim at 302-827-2054. That's 302-827-2054. Lewis Meineke Car Care Center. Rev up your career.
You hear that? That's the sound of America's only sports car. That's right. It's a Corvette. But not just any Corvette. It's your Corvette. It's that who cares if there's traffic part of your day. And this can be you when you come to Cooper Corvettes. With 60 years of Corvettes to choose from, there's always a Corvette in your budget. And they'll service any Corvette you bring in. Cooper Corvettes. On Route 1 just north of Quantico and Triangle. Call, click, or visit CooperCorvettes.com.
Victory Custom Trailers is the place to go for your next new or used trailer or coach. Being personally involved in the racing community allows Victory to fully understand what racers need in a trailer. They have over 200 coaches and trailers in stock for a variety of industries, and they can serve anyone in the continental U.S. If you're looking for something custom, they can assist in designing a trailer to fit your needs. Check out their entire inventory online at victorycustomtrailers.com.
He wanted to be known for doing his best.
Sure, right.
His best made him Major League Baseball's most valuable player.
Strike two.
He played in six World Series and was elected to the Hall of Fame. Oh. Although an honest man, he was best at stealing home.
Save.
But the best quality of Jackie Robinson's life was his character. So here's to you, Mr. Robinson. Thanks for passing it on. From the Foundation for a Better Life at Values.com.
Hi, this is Trey Gropp, and you're listening to Motorsports Madness. Now back to the show.
I love that bumper music. That's one of my favorite pieces of bumper music that we have on the show.
If you want to see how my mind works, every time I hear the bumper, I see the Muppets in my head. I don't know why.
It's a very That's Muppety. Interesting.
Yeah, it's like, you know, like Kermit and everybody playing instruments. And
it's kind of a Fraggle bluesy rock. Sort of funky mana, sort of thing. Oh, see, now that song there was...
All I said was like, gibberish, and everybody knew what I was talking
about.
Yeah,
exactly.
You can't not know manamana. If you're any, well, I think probably anything over about 20 or 25 knows manamana because it's been used in so many different applications. But that goes back even before the Muppet Show. I think somebody. That I can't remember who actually wrote the song, but that was a hit for somebody in some other country before it was ever on the Muppet Show.
I'm sure
it was really that's.
I think it was used on Sesame Street back in
Sesame
the 60s.
Street. That's right. Yes, that's exactly where it came from. You're right. Manamana. How about that? I didn't think we'd ever hear or have a manamana reference on this show, but I would give it a bell, but I don't have the bell tonight. So, Chris, go ahead. Give yourself a bell. Okay, back to motorsports. We go and back to the Music City Grand Prix where they weren't singing manamana.
We don't know what they were singing on Broadway after the race.
Well,
I bet Marcus was singing that when he was up in the
air. He was singing Rocket Man. That's what he was singing.
Could have been.
Or, what was that Harry Chapin song, Taxi? I'm flying in my taxi, taking tips and getting stoned. He was flying high.
I hope that wasn't happening to him.
Yeah.
Although if he won, I can see how the sales have just skyrocketed.
So, yeah, exactly. So, again, to talk about the event, we talked about the course, but let's talk about the event for a second. First of all, I mean, we spent some time on last week's show talking about the website and all of the ways that I thought the city and private investors just turned this into just a bonanza.
And going through
the weekend, watching Robbie Gordon Stadium Truck Series, watching the Trans Am Series, you know, all of the kind of preliminary events leading up to the IndyCar race, and then just seeing the crowd that was there, well over 100,000. By everybody's estimates, we're in Nashville over the course of the weekend. And when you look at just the magnitude of what it took to put that event on, and you didn't, I heard nobody complaining about the heat. But I do wonder, though, if, you know, maybe we ought to think about doing this at some point earlier in the year before it gets quite so hot there, Peter. Would you move this event earlier or leave it where it is?
I mean, the one thing you have to take into account with this event is the Tennessee Titans schedule, obviously, because you're running this race on their property right next to their stadium. So you're kind of at the mercy of what Nissan Stadium has on their schedule, whether it's training camp or what have you.
Well, they're out of the playoffs usually by late January. So, I mean, you could do a February, March race there.
That's true. Yeah.
No, don't hate me, Titans fans. I'm just kidding. No, I don't know. I mean, the two things that struck me were just the fact that it is so hot at this time of year in Nashville, but also because you're putting it with the Bud at the Glen NASCAR race. Now, I'm not even going to get into the start times at this moment because you get TV and race start times and all that. But I do feel like there's two sides to that coin, too, because on the one hand, it is hard to kind of make them not overlap, especially if you're going to add weather into the mix. But the other side of that to me, Randy, is that this feels a little bit like road course heaven because Bud at the Glen, the Watkins Glen to me is the ultimate road course in America. And then you have this Nashville race, which it isn't so much about whether the course is the greatest race course, but my gosh, they race up and down a bridge for crying out loud. It is the most unique race course I've ever seen, I think, as a street course.
Visually, it's appealing, obviously. I mean, going across the Cumberland River at 225 miles an hour is very appealing to some people. The course itself, I think next year they can probably tweak some things. You know, there's areas of the track where it should be a little bit wider, things like that. But if you think about, you know, the prestigiousness of, okay, you know, we have this brand new course, this brand new track in Nashville up against the NASCAR race in Watkins Glen for the first time in 2 years. This coming weekend, we have a doubleheader at the same racetrack because they're both running the Indy Road Course this weekend.
Yeah, that's right.
With an IndyCar NASCAR doubleheader. So, I mean, This is the perfect opportunity to cross and counteract fans of both sports into one and just kind of make a huge, you know, motorsports type of, you know, thing out of this whole last couple weekends.
And we had Cody Ware running the IndyCar race, so we did have a little crossover.
He only ran half the race, I think.
And then, of course, Jimmy Johnson.
And Jimmy Johnson. Well, yeah, Jimmy.
For
okay.
a little bit.
So we could get into that. So Jimmy Johnson gets disqualified for...
And it wasn't Chad's fault this time.
Yeah.
For once, it wasn't.
It wasn't Chad's fault. Jimmy Johnson gets DQ'd for basically looking at the race car.
Well, the IndyCar rule is no working on the car under a red flag, which...
And they technically did move and touch and, you know, move parts, so...
I mean,
it is a rule which, in this case, it seems...
I'm sorry, IndyCar, I gotta do this.
I mean, it's just like a...
Come on, man.
It's just like Joey getting sent to the rear because of... or sent a lap penalty because a crew member took a picture inside the...
yeah, because he went inside the race car. Isn't the rule in NASCAR
Hang on. Say that again. A crew...
You didn't know this?
No, I missed this.
It was in New Hampshire.
Yeah.
Oh, this was at Loudoun?
Yeah,
at Loudoun. And he got disqualified for what?
No, he got a two-lap penalty because under the rain delay, a crew member reached in the cowl and took a picture of debris that was stuck in the drive line. Mm-hmm.
But all they did was take a picture, but he went inside the passenger side window.
What are we doing here? No. Like, none of this affects the outcome of the race. Jimmy Johnson, here you got a 7-time NASCAR champion running your series. Now, I know he had a terrible weekend. I get it, okay? He's struggling in IndyCar, but you know what? For goodness sake.
Yeah, they were racing on track.
He was not going to win the race unless the rest of the cars crashed.
They were racing Nashville. He was in Memphis.
He didn't even... look visibly frustrated. He just looked defeated because as soon as he got disqualified, his head just slumped and he's like, he's just like, I just want to go home.
Isn't the rule the same? Like, isn't the same rule in NASCAR that it is in IndyCar? So I thought the rule is that you couldn't touch the car. As long as you don't touch the car, why does it matter if you? Because isn't the rule like you're allowed to get the pieces and stuff that you need? You just can't. Put them.
See, but that's what I thought, because like I watched, and Jimmy actually was the one that grabbed the new nose
and set it down
in front of the car, and I think there were a couple crewmen that were bent over and maybe leaning on the car, looking in and around, but they weren't actually doing anything.
I think the issue was before the cameras cut to his car, they were moving and looking at his car and maybe... taking pictures. I'm not sure. I don't want to speculate there, but I think crime was committed before TV cut to his car.
I just think it's too picky. These open wheel series have very, very, and NASCAR obviously too with some of this. I mean, my gosh, come on. But anyway, so that happened. Now on the flip side of this, I'm just going to go ahead and ask this question. Is Colton Herta the cream of the IndyCar crop right now, Peter?
I mean, at times yesterday, he was putting on an Alex Zanardi-esque performance. I think he can be a multi-time champion, multi-time race winner in this series. I think so, absolutely.
See, that if we were doing fill-in-the-blank, Colton Herta's performance was Alex Zanardi-esque. Like, that's how you do fill-in-the-blank.
I think we should ask the Turn 7 wall what they think about Colton.
Do you want to do fill-in-the-blank? I mean, that was very random to bring up.
I feel like up until he hit the wall, absolutely. I mean, he was the cream of the crop, the class of the field, but then, you know, he's lucky, stuck up on him.
He's lucky he didn't break his thumb.
That's true. He was trying to catch Marcus Ericsson, and, you know, he just tried too hard and hit the wall. And he was so defeated that he did it that he didn't want to take his hands off the wheel, which is what Chris was talking about. Very, very lucky he didn't break some bones in his fingers.
See, I don't think he was – he didn't take his hands off the wheel because he was defeated. He took his hands off the wheel because he tried until the last possible
moment. Well, yeah, he thought he could do it.
Yeah, to steer it out of the... And of course, once you lock up the left front, I mean, we see that all the time with the Legends cars in the summer shootout at Charlotte. Once you lock the left front, you're just going straight. And so, you know, unfortunately, there was nowhere for him to go but into the tire barrier. And, you know, it's too bad because, to me, that was the show. He was the show. And I think that kid may be the best pure talent in IndyCar racing of the newer crop. Obviously, you got your new gardens and people that have been there a while. But of the newer drivers, I think that kid might just be the most purely talented and, frankly, probably has the most, shall we say, fortitude. I don't know what we could get away with on our affiliates. So we
just look at the race itself.
We'll just say fortitude, courage,
he got intestinal fortitude.
He got more back there.
See, I didn't know if we could go there either.
After that pit stop, he came out fourth, fifth. After that on that restart, and still made his way all the way back through, and you know was catching. Ericsson, if it wasn't for just bad timing on his part of catching him at the wrong moments of the racetrack, Ericsson was able just to blow right by him when they went down across that bridge. But then when he came on the other side of the racetrack, he would catch him, but he would always get to the weird part of the track where the corners wouldn't line up right, and he just never could catch him. But
yeah, I think the group of IndyCar drivers we've got now are just from front to back maybe the best we've had in 30 or 40 years in the IndyCar series, just loaded with young talent that are just so much fun to watch, and a lot of them have very, very good personalities too. So back to Indy they go with NASCAR. We'll get to that, and Hunter Heaney coming up a little later, as well as Motorsports Madness continues after this.
How to be a great dad in 15 seconds. Bike ride, go fish, walk in the park, phone call, milkshake, play catch, picnic, fly a kite, tell jokes, laugh, talk, read a story, tell a story, bumper car, swing set, bowling, pillow fight, cut loose, stay tight. Whew. Because the smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Automotive technicians and auto service trainees, how would you like to work at the beach and perform for one of the best car care centers in the nation? Lewis Meineke is now looking for skilled automotive technicians to join their award-winning team. If you're a gearhead that knows his or her stuff, or a young up-and-comer that has the motivation and drive to succeed, then you need to make this call today. 302-827-2054. Lewis Meineke Car Care Center, located in beautiful Lewis, Delaware, offers a highly competitive compensation plan, great benefits, a flexible schedule, and did we mention that you're going to be working at the beach? Plus, there's a signing bonus for the right candidates. Technicians must be ASE certified and have a minimum of 6 years' experience. Beginners advance at your own pace in one of several entry-level positions. But whatever you do, don't wait. These jobs will go fast. Call Tim at 302-827-2054. That's 302-827-2054. Lewis Meineke Car Care Center. Rev up your career.
You hear that? That's the sound of America's only sports car. That's right, it's a Corvette. But not just any Corvette, it's your Corvette. It's that who cares if there's traffic part of your day. And this can be you when you come to Cooper Corvettes. With 60 years of Corvettes to choose from, there's always a Corvette in your budget. And they'll service any Corvette you bring in. Cooper Corvettes, on Route 1 just north of Quantico and Triangle. Call, click, or visit CooperCorvettes.com.
He wanted to be known for doing his best.
Sure, right.
His best made him Major League Baseball's most valuable player.
Strike two.
He played in 6 World Series and was elected to the Hall of Fame. Oh. Although an honest man, he was best at stealing home. But the best quality of Jackie Robinson's life was his character. So here's to you, Mr. Robinson. Thanks for passing it on. From the Foundation for a Better Life at Values.com.
When Marlon Shirley was 5 years old, he was in an accident and lost his foot, but he didn't lose his heart.
When you tackle a challenge that you just cannot even fathom tackling, when you accomplish that, the amount of integrity and the will and the heart that you'll get from that experience is what will set you up for your life.
In less time than it took Marlon Shirley to say that, he can now run 100 meters because today he's the world's fastest amputee. Overcome. Pass it on. From the Foundation for a Better Life at Values.com.
Manamana. Manamana. Manamana.
That's good stuff.
Oh, see, you should have stopped it. We could have all joined in on the chorus. Rodomanamana. I love it. That's awesome. But, okay, so now all of you know what we were talking about.
You know what? I swear, if that whole thing goes like, you know, globally trending on social media in the next 24 hours, I'm going to be like, ha, told you. Everybody listens to our show.
Manamana. That's exactly right. Okay.
We just brought the Muppets back to life.
Just brought the Muppets back.
You know what I picture when I hear that now? Noah. I don't know. Sitting in the corner.
Noah is a Muppet. He could be a Muppet.
He is. Although the Muppets are like three times his age. So.
Well, I don't know. Do we know how old the Muppets actually are?
Like 50-something, I would assume. I mean, they're from, like, aren't they from the 70s?
You don't know if they age. I mean,
Bugs, I mean, I'm sure the Muppets, you know, themselves don't. I'm talking about the brand, like the Muppets.
Oh, the brand.
Not necessarily an individual Muppet.
Yeah, the Muppets have been around for about 50, 60 years.
I mean, I assume that the stitches come out every once in a while. I really don't know how you age a Muppet.
Kermit never
looks
at the
old
ones.
I'm
going
to have to Google this now and figure out how do Muppets age.
How do Muppets age? Probably an article about it. Okay, back to the IndyCar series. We were talking about Nashville, but this coming weekend, IndyCar joins NASCAR at Indy. Where else would they join NASCAR?
The perfect place for the NASCAR Indy doubleheader. Didn't they do that last year, too?
They did, but it was the July 4th race and obviously no fans.
Yeah, right. This is going to be big, I think. They're running the road course for all of it. No oval, all road course. Peter, you're making a face over there. Did you just like ingest a lemon or what?
I'm still not a fan of not running the Brickyard 400 on the oval. I mean, is it the most entertaining barn burner of a race? No, but the history of that oval, it's America's most famous race course, arguably the world's
most famous. Well, it's not even the 400 anymore, is it? It's like the, what is it, the Brickyard?
It's the Verizon 200. 250, 220,
it's the Verizon 200 now.
That's...
But still, I hate the idea of not having Cup on the oval at Indianapolis.
IndyCar has a better name for their race. They're the Big Machine Spiked Coolers Grand Prix.
Yeah, right. Well, okay, so Peter's a thumbs down. He's not buying the IndyCar or the Cup car on the road course thing. Randy, you say what?
I think we should go back to running the oval at least once with the new car. Like next year, run it with the next-gen car just to see what the difference is. Because I feel like it would be a better race with the next-gen car. And if it doesn't work, then go back to the road course. I'm always a fan of going to O'Reilly Raceway Park, so I'm always going to be an advocate for the short track. I want to go back to O'Reilly Raceway Park.
Wow, so you're like two name changes ago. It's Lucas Oil Raceway now.
It's always going to be O'Reilly Raceway Park to me. I don't care.
It's the Indy short track.
You know, formerly known as Indianapolis
God rest
Raceway
his soul,
Park.
Bob Jenkins would say the same thing. It's O'Reilly Raceway Park. Gosh darn it.
Okay, so, boy... I'm definitely thumbs up on the road course, Cup Series on the road course, because I'm sorry, but it wasn't the old one built for stock cars. It's like COTA. COTA was not built for the current stock car, and they didn't put on a good show.
I'm a big thumbs up for the weekend itself. People will come for the IndyCar race, and hopefully they'll stay for the Cup race and merge some of the fans.
Is it the USAC race that weekend, too? Oh, no. No, because the Knoxville Nationals is this weekend.
It's right. Knoxville is, well, no, the USAC race is a midget race.
Right.
And I think it might be. We'll have to look that up. Peter will get on that because Peter is
the Brian Clausen Classic.
I think it is, actually.
We should run NASCAR on that track.
On the dirt track? I think it's a little small.
The dirt track is like smaller than this building.
That's okay. Only 10 cars are going to finish anyways. It doesn't matter. Put the trucks on there. They can't run on the dirt track anyway.
Getting back to your point, though, I would be okay if they tried to run the new cars on the oval just to see, because my suspicion would be that the differences in the car itself, in the chassis itself, where it drives better. more like a sports car, might make a difference. But, you know, I'm in favor of the Cup cars on the road course. I think this, first of all, I hate the Indy road course, period. The Indy cars never put on a good race there, ever. But the stock cars do. The Busch series. Wow, did I go back in
you're
time?
You're like three name changes.
He's stuck in
three name changes.
Muppet Land.
The Xfinity series. Yeah, the Xfinity. So we need to just cut that little bit out. The Xfinity Series puts on great racing on that road course, and I think the Cup Series will be great. I think it's going to be a good race. And I think, again, because they've never done this, it's almost like a wild card again. I mean, you look at the usual suspects on the road courses, but I'm not of the opinion that, for example, Denny Hamlin couldn't steal one. You got guys like Michael McDowell that are really good road course racers. If they can get the speed that they need, this could be a really, really interesting event for the Cup Series. So I'm in favor of that, but I'd be curious about the new cars on the oval. I certainly love racing on the Indy Oval. I just don't think the current Cup car has a package that runs well.
If we can run the All-Star race at Texas, why can't we run the All-Star race at Indy with the new cars next year just to see if it works? It's a shorter race. That way you just get it out of the way, and if it doesn't work, you go back to running the road course. Why not? I mean, it's the All-Stars at Indianapolis. It can't be any more boring than the Texas race.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I guess you're going all the way to Texas just for the All-Star race. I suppose you
Indy's a little bit shorter of a distance.
But I just, my suspicion tells me you're not going to get SMI to give it up.
Yeah, probably not.
But I'm just saying.
It's an interesting thought, though. But I think the track's too big for the All-Star race. You need the full field of cars on a big speedway to make it interesting. But
you forget that they exist about 5 laps in, you'd be like, where'd those cars go? There's only 10 of them. Where'd they go?
Well, it's like when they used to run the Busch Clash originally in the late 70s into the 80s, and they'd only have the pole winners. And sometimes you'd only have like 8 cars because, you know, the top 5 guys of the circuit would win all the poles.
That was back when it was only a 20-lap race, too.
Yeah, but that's what made it fun because it wasn't long enough for it to get. It was a 20-lap sprint, done. Hand them $1 million, done. I mean, I still think we ought to go back to that.
Hey, here's an idea. What if we do a triathlon? We can do the Brickyard. We can do the road course. We can play around the golf. There's a round of golf course in the infield. Denny might actually have a chance if we did that.
Well, no, only if you play basketball would Denny have a chance. Well,
he's a pretty good golfer.
Is he?
Yeah.
Okay. He's a pretty
maybe he would then. But,
if he would spend more time on the iRacing ring and less time on the golf course, he might actually win a race.
I think it'd be fun to do a hot dog eating contest. What you do is you
well, yeah, but Brendan Gunn's retired.
what you do is you just stop at the start-finish line. You got to unbuckle, get out, have a hot dog and a Coke, get back in your car, and drive another lap.
That sounds like something.
Anybody who throws up in their car is disqualified.
That has to happen in Martinsville, though.
They used to do a lot of that in short track racing. Different short tracks would have like their and that's what they used to do. And it was crazy watching drivers like try to stuff an entire hot dog in their mouth without. That stuff like that went away, and I don't know why, because that was fun for the fans.
Maybe that's what happened to Colton Herta. Maybe he dropped the hot dog in the seat, and he was trying to figure out how to get it and ran in the wall.
But should be a great race, getting back to the topic. IndyCar, NASCAR, I really feel like this should be a great weekend of racing, and again, I think it's a good 2 weeks. If you think about it, you've got the Glen, you've got for the road course set. This is a nice couple of weeks of racing, Peter.
Absolutely. And coming into the final weeks of the regular season, two chances for a bit of an upset on a road course because not everyone is so accustomed to road racing. I mean, Kyle Larson won for the 5th time this year at Watkins Glen, but the field is wide open on the Indy road course. I really think guys like Ross Chastain or Tyler Reddick could pull off an upset.
The IndyCar championship race is just white hot right now. And again, it's the younger guys that are really, really factoring into this. Alex Palou, you've had VK.
Scott Dixon's second in points now.
Yeah, he took second over after Nashville. But again, I think the younger drivers have been the story of this season. And Randy, this has to be one of the most competitive seasons in a long time in IndyCar, and it's refreshing to watch.
Yeah, and it's much needed, too. I mean, you know, IndyCar has gone through several changes and several, you know, things over the course of the last several years where a lot of fans have kind of turned themselves away from the IndyCar world. But having this opportunity to put the spotlight on these guys and, you know, have all these different winners we've had this year and this youth movement we've got in the IndyCar series now is really going to put a huge focus on that and bring new fans to the sport, and that's an exciting thing.
Okay, switching to NASCAR and taking a look at the Glen. Speaking of youth movements, or at least a one youth movement, Ty Gibbs. What's the deal, man? He just keeps on winning.
Is he the best prospect since Joey Logano joined the scene back in the mid-2000s?
It's hard to deny that.
I mean, going against guys like Kyle Larson and Chase Elliott, the hype they had coming onto the national scene, Ty Gibbs is 3-for-10 this year in Xfinity. I mean, that's insane to think about.
Well, and that wouldn't necessarily sound like a huge accomplishment, Randy, except when you consider that Ty's never run Xfinity.
He's only
prior
got
to this
10
year.
Starts.
Yeah, no. I mean, it's like he's...
And he beat arguably the two best road racers in this series, A.J. Allmendinger and Austin Cindric,
and
too.
He's a part-time driver. Who knows how many more wins he would have this year if he would have ran full-time.
If he could have. I mean, that's just... it's incredible, really, honestly, to look at. And Ty has a personality that when he's focused and he's on his game, that kid could influence more people in a positive way with his faith and just the way that he carries himself. It's just really amazing. I've been shocked, honestly, at what he's done this year, and it's not over. I feel like there's another two or three wins potentially for him. I don't know how many starts in Xfinity he's got for the rest of the year, but Peter will look that up. But
he's got one coming up this weekend.
Yeah, he's going to race Indy this weekend, and I feel like, again, that could be a win for him. He just – the kid is just good and, you know, just really, really has – the upside potential for him is incredible.
So aside from this weekend at Indy, Ty is running at Michigan the following week, then Richmond on September 11th, the Roval, and then Kansas. So four more after this weekend.
So, I mean, two more. I mean, you know, the Roval, certainly he's great at the road courses, not to say he can't win on the ovals, but, I mean, it's just amazing, honestly, in a division that's been so competitive and so much fun to watch. Ty's managed to, I think, be maybe the biggest story of the season, and he's not even a full-time racer.
He's picked up a new sponsor.
Talking about that whole sort of hype thing that JGR did, you know, we all thought, okay, here's his full-time Xfinity announcement for next year. Nope, just picked up Sport Clips and got a hair place sponsor.
I do like what you were saying, though, about his faith and the way he conducts himself when he wins races.
Barbershop.
Word of the day. It's just, you know, the way he is, and it's refreshing to see when he wins races how much different he is compared to everybody else.
Yeah, I mean, you know, again, just and he's a very fun personality. The interview that he did with Jamie McMurray, where they went to the ice cream shop, was just fantastic. And that wouldn't work with just any driver. You have to have the, you know, the kid that looks like he's 12 and, you know, just has that sort of personality.
It's
going.
Only place you could get into.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Anyways, okay, so we are going to step aside. When we come back, we are going to continue to talk NASCAR, and we got Hunter Yeaney coming up in a while, too. We'll be right back.
Everywhere you go, you hear it, and you see it. It's coming at you through your phone, your tablet, and your computer. It's broadcast from your favorite radio station, TV networks, and cable companies. It's in the stadiums, the arenas, the ballparks. It screams for your attention at the mall. It's interactive on Main Street. It's even coming at you from the gas pump at the nearby convenience store. What is it? It's digital content. It's digital content. It's digital content. Somebody has to create it. Somebody has to manage it. So whether your dream is to write it, design it, create it, call it, produce it, voice it, host it, light it, shoot it, switch it, record it, color correct it, edit it, code it, repurpose it, tweet it, blog it, post it, compress it, upload it, replay it, or make sure it gets to where it's got to go when it's got to get there in the format it's got to be in. You need to attend
Carolina School of Broadcasting.
The skills you will learn, the experience you will get, and the connections you will make at Carolina School of Broadcasting will open the doors to the career you want in digital content creation and digital content management. Call or come by today. Click csbradiotv.edu.
Everyone knows Strutmasters is the suspension experts for luxury vehicles, and now we offer motorcycle products. Introducing Easy Rider, complete motorcycle air suspension brought to you by Strutmasters.com. You can raise and lower your bike with the flip of a switch. Take those long rides with the ultimate comfort of Easy Rider air shocks. They're backed by Strutmasters, and you won't believe the low price. Check out Easy Rider motorcycle air suspension at Strutmasters.com.
Parents, your son or daughter has had their license for a while now, but you want to make sure they're prepared for any situation they may face on the road. High school driver's ed doesn't teach them to drive defensively. They need to be prepared for any highway emergency. For less than a month's insurance, and a whole lot less, BSR instructors at Summit Point Motorsports Park in nearby Summit Point, West Virginia, will teach your son or daughter how to respond instantly and positively to unexpected situations on the road. BSR's specialized accident avoidance training teaches swerve to avoid maneuvers at highway speed, ocular driving, which focuses driving attention on ways to avoid accidents, vehicle dynamics and feedback, skid control and skid recovery, threshold braking on straights and progressive braking on curves, and off-road recovery techniques. This is stuff driver's ed simply doesn't teach. So call BSR today, 304-725-8444. Give your kid the skill set needed to drive safely and responsibly on the highway. That's 304-725-8444.
This is a test to find out if you know it all when it comes to children. Name one of the leading killers of U.S. children age 1 to 13. What's the best way to protect children in a car crash? At what age and size should a child start using a booster seat?
Don't assume you know it all when it comes to car seats for your child. Go to safercar.gov/the right seat and know for sure. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Hey, this is Buddy Copeway, and you're listening to Motorsports Madness. Now, back to the show.
Okay, time for a quick round the table here. Talking trucks. Peter, grade the truck race at Watkins Glen this past weekend. A through F, grade the truck race, and why?
A, Watkins Glen is arguably the best road course in the country. I don't know why it took the trucks over 20 years to go back there.
So you give it an A?
Yes.
Okay, Randy Miller.
I say B+. It wasn't the most fantastic race on the schedule, but I mean, it's the first time in 20 years, so I guess I have to give him a little bit of credit, but it was a pretty good race overall.
I'm going to give it a B-, which isn't that much different than the B+, but it was less than what I expected. I actually thought because they haven't been there in so long, it would be a better race than it actually turned out to be. But I do like the fact that Zane Smith in the playoffs. Here's my question. Again, minute and a half left, quick round the table. Is Zane Smith a threat to win the championship? Yes or no? Randy.
If he can get out of his own way and GMS gets some help, yes. Otherwise, no.
He made Phoenix last year. I think he can make it this year.
Well, I think he can make Phoenix. I'm just not sure Zane Smith. I don't think most of GMS Racing is what they were a year ago. And the problem is, the thing in my head is, I don't know why. I don't know what's happened. I understand Kyle Busch Motorsports got a lot better, and maybe that's all it is because
his crew went to the same technical school as Kevin
Harvick. Okay, let's take it easy there. Kyle Busch Motorsports got a lot better? No, John Hunter came from the Cup Series to the truck, and that's what happened.
Well, but that made Kyle Busch Motorsports a lot better, and Kyle, you know, won a number of his starts when John Hunter wasn't beating him. So, it's weird to me what's happened with GMS this year. They're just
I'll pose a Kyle Busch Motorsports question after the break here.
Okay, we'll get to that in the next segment. But I'm going to follow up with this. Tyler Ankrum just missed the playoffs, but I mean, this is in a season when Stuart Friesen basically limped in. I don't know what Tyler's contract situation is, but I don't know. Are you after 2 years? Let's get to that in a longer segment because I want to talk more about Tyler's situation there. We'll be back with more of the madness right after this.
Here's an important message from Rad and this station. Hi, this is Bob Sheehan from Blues Traveler for RAD, Recording Artists Against Drunk Driving.
I like to party just as much as the next guy, maybe even more. But the one thing I won't do after I've had a few is get in the car and drive. Don't blow it. Always choose a designated driver. Remember, music lives and so should you.
Motorsports Sales Professionals. Performance Motorsports is looking to build a team of experienced media sales professionals to represent our programming to the industry's top companies, magazines, and racing series. If you have motorsports sales or marketing experience, know how to work with agencies, understand social media, and are incredibly creative when it comes to working with clients and promotions, then we want to hear from you. Top performers are richly rewarded. Your imagination is the only limit here. Call 717-749-0444. That's 717-749-0444. Or email us at scorpionradiogroup@gmail.com. You want to ask for Sue.
You are a waste. A loser. Everyone hates you. Why don't you just stay in your car and keep driving? I'm serious. Drive until you run out of gas, then get out of your car and walk until you find someone who doesn't think you're dumber than bricks. Could take a while, but at least all that walking might burn a couple of calories.
You may not witness bullying like this every day. Your kids do. They want to help, but they don't know how. Visit StopBullying.gov to learn safe, simple ways your child can help stop bullying. Be more than a bystander at StopBullying.gov. A message from the Ad Council.
You own a performance car and you know how to drive, but you want to learn real performance driving. Well, Bunky, get that car off the street and onto the track. Summit Point Motorsports Park, the Mid-Atlantic's premier road racing facility, located just over an hour from D.C. in nearby Summit Point, West Virginia, is the place to go. And you'll find that Friday at the track is going to give you what you need. For less than a monthly car payment, you can attend this regularly scheduled one-day instructional event in your streetcar on one of Summit Point's three world-class road racing circuits. You'll receive classroom instruction, skid pad instruction in their cars, including front and rear skid control, and four 20-minute in-your-car instructional sessions from a professional instructor. Have fun, go fast, and really learn how to drive. Call 304-725-8444 for class schedules and details. That's 304-725-8444. Friday at the track at Summit Point Motorsports Park.
The Performance Motorsports Network is a compilation of shows about motorsports. From technical to controversial to just fun, everything you like about racing and gearhead stuff is right here on one internet channel. The Performance Motorsports Network. Tell your friends about it.
Hi, this is Logan Seavey, and you're listening to Motorsports Madness. Now back to the show.
Okay, welcome back to the Madness, presented by MyComputerCareer.edu, training for a better life. We'll tell you more about them in a minute. Chris had a question that you were going to pose in the last segment. Go ahead and throw it out there. We got about 2 minutes here.
Should Chandler Smith's disqualification in the Glen disqualify him from making the playoffs?
I mean, he wasn't really much of a factor at the Glen. He was spun turn one, lap one, and never really recovered. He finished, I believe, 18th and then failed post-race highs. So
That's not the question. If he fails a race, should he then lose the opportunity to be
a contender? I mean, if he didn't gain enough points for it to really matter either way, then I say no, it shouldn't. Just this should be a Watkins Glen issue, not a whole season issue.
I kind of agree. The only way that it should be a punishment would be if he lost enough points to knock himself out of the contention of the championship, and then I felt like it was justifiably so.
Yeah, see, for me, I think the end result was its own punishment. Johnny Sauter, what was his issue there a year or two ago when he
tried wrecking someone intentionally under caution at Iowa?
Yeah, and see, when you do something like that, or during the commercial, the whole Spingate thing was brought up, which seems like it was 100 years ago now, with Clint Bowyer at Michael Waltrip Racing. I mean, that was intentionally trying to affect the outcome of the race. So I personally don't think that Chandler's playoff position should be affected by it. I mean, you never disqualify anyone else out of the playoffs who fails post-race tech. So I just don't. And honestly, like I said, he didn't run well anyway. So to me, I don't think they intentionally made the car so it would fail heights at post-race tech. I don't believe. So I just don't see that being an issue. That kind of does make you think, though. I mean, NASCAR has all these picky little rules, and it's like, if you really sat down and talked about what should disqualify you or shouldn't disqualify you, we could probably do half of or a whole show on those little things that NASCAR has that...
We'll get Bob Pockers to come help us out.
Yeah, we'll get Pockers to interpret for us because, you know, everybody needs a little Pockers in their life. Okay, we're going to be back with more of the madness. Right after this. Stay with us.
You own a performance car and you know how to drive, but you want to learn real performance driving. Well, Bunky, get that car off the street and onto the track. Summit Point Motorsports Park, the Mid-Atlantic's premier road racing facility, located just over an hour from D.C. in nearby Summit Point, West Virginia, is the place to go. And you'll find that Friday at the track is going to give you what you need. For less than a monthly car payment, you can attend this regularly scheduled one-day instructional event in your street car on one of Summit Point's three world-class road racing circuits. You'll receive classroom instruction, skid pad instruction in their cars, including front and rear skid control, and 4 20-minute in your car instructional sessions from a professional instructor. Have fun, go fast, and really learn how to drive. Call 304-725-8444 for class schedules and details. That's 304-725-8444. Friday at the track at Summit Point Motorsports Park.
Green light. Hey, girl. School zone. I'm getting hungry. Car changing lanes. You want to meet me for pizza? Stop sign. Intersection clear. Yeah, street. Pizza sounds good. Ball in street? Girl in street!
It's hard to concentrate on two things at once, like texting and driving. Stop the text. Stop the wrecks. How will you stop texting and driving? Tell us at StopTextStopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Here's an important message from RAD and this station.
Hi, this is Bob Sheehan from Blues Traveler for RAD, recording artists against drunk driving. I like to party just as much as the next guy, maybe even more. But the one thing I won't do after I've had a few is get in the car and drive. Don't blow it. Always choose a designated driver. Remember, music lives, and so should you.
Automotive technicians and auto service trainees, how would you like to work at the beach and perform for one of the best car care centers in the nation? Lewis Meineke is now looking for skilled automotive technicians to join their award-winning team. If you're a gearhead that knows his or her stuff, or a young up-and-comer that has the motivation and drive to succeed, then you need to make this call today, 302-827-2054. Lewis Meineke Car Care Center, located in beautiful Lewis, Delaware, offers a highly competitive compensation plan, great benefits, a flexible schedule, and did we mention that you're going to be working at the beach? Plus, there's a signing bonus for the right candidates. Technicians must be ASE certified and have a minimum of 6 years' experience. Beginners advance at your own pace in one of several entry-level positions. But whatever you do, don't wait. These jobs will go fast. Call Tim at 302-827-2054. That's 302-827-2054. Lewis Meineke Car Care Center. Rev up your career.
Hi, this is Emerson Axum, and you're listening to Motorsports Madness. Now back to the show.
Emerson won again. I forgot which track he was racing at, but I'm telling you, that name, Emerson Axum, everybody look him up. It's A-X-O-M, Emerson Axum.
We do have a lot of dirt ringers in our re-entry list
we
now
do.
For Madness, so it's a good time to mention that the Knoxville Nationals are this weekend.
They are.
Sixth annual.
You know, we'll interrupt. Actually, let's get to our guest, Hunter Yeaney, and then we'll talk about this because I don't want to leave Hunter stranded.
You just confused
here.
Him all kinds of ways.
It's all right. It's improvisation on the fly. That's how you do live radio. Time to go back to the hotline. Hunter Yeaney with us tonight. Hunter is out of Virginia, and Hunter is a member of what I consider to be an all-star type lineup, future all-star lineup with VRD in the F4 series. And Hunter, it's good to have you on the program. Glad you could join us tonight.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Tell us a little bit about where you're from and what your background in the sport is.
Okay, so I'm from Virginia Beach, Virginia. I'm 16 years old, and the background of my sport is I raced go-karts for about 3 years, starting at the age of 9, and then got the jump in cars early, started practicing in an F4 car, and then went into the season, and then rocked it.
Hunter, being from Virginia Beach, you're actually not far from one of our co-hosts, Noah Lewis, who's not on the show tonight. He's up near the Chesterfield area. But how does someone from Virginia Beach get in the open-wheel ladder system? Because I think of drivers from Virginia, I think of Denny Hamlin or the Sadler brothers or the Burtons, and they're all pavement short track NASCAR stars. How does someone like yourself get into open-wheel?
Yeah.
So, I think we wanted you to expand. How did you get, what was it that brought you into the open wheel system versus going in the NASCAR direction?
Oh, okay, sorry, like the service is a little bit bad. I think at first I was kind of like looking at the NASCAR stuff. I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. And then me and my dad started talking about some of the open wheel F1 stuff, and we were at Supernats 1 year, which is a really big karting event, and we met somebody named Dan Mitchell, and he got us started on the F4 program and started getting our test dates sorted out.
So now you're running F4, and you're on a team that I consider to be, it's almost like, I think I introduced you this way, it's you're part of a future all-star lineup, and the team itself is so strong. Talk about the team that you race for and how much you've learned this year running F4 with them.
Honestly, I've learned a lot. Dan really taught me well. I've been with him from the start. I've had a few other drivers that were ahead of me, and they set a lot of data for me, so it was really nice. And just getting the test days.
So talk a little bit about what it's like to race F4 here in the U.S., because obviously this type of racing outside of the country is really big time and gets a lot more exposure, I think, than it does here. And I hate that it doesn't get more exposure here because it's great racing. What's it like to race in that series? What are those cars like to drive?
They're really cool car to drive. They're like a little bit heavy, which makes them really, really fun to try on the brake. The car is a really draftable car. Like if you get behind someone, you can draft up to somebody from like 4 or 5 car lengths back.
Oh, nice.
What'd you say?
I said, that's nice. I like that. NASCAR, you struggle to everybody talks about dirty air. No such thing in F4, right?
Yeah, except when people bump in these cars, it usually doesn't turn out the way it does in NASCAR sometimes.
Yeah, that's, well, if we all watch Nashville on Sunday, and you can see what happens when you run into the back of an open-wheel car in front of you. You turn into Elton John, and you start singing Rocket Man.
Yeah, turn into a spaceship.
Yeah, that definitely not good. Okay, you had the chance. You were part of the team over the winter in your training to actually interact with Jimmy Johnson when he stepped back and took some laps and tried to learn some things. And you told me a story in a conversation we had a month or so ago about something you taught Jimmy. Talk a little bit about that, what it was like to work with him, and then what you specifically taught him about braking.
So, honestly, it was like one of the best opportunities I think I've ever had just to work with him. It was honestly so crazy because he's one of like the guys who are just like, when you're a little kid, you're like, oh, Jimmy won another race or Jimmy won another championship. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, you're working with him. It's like, oh, I am? And like not even just that, but to be like setting laps for him in an FR America's car is like awesome.
Talk about the brake. You told me that something about you were teaching him something about brake technique.
Yes. So he said to me at Barber Motorsports Park, he said, I'm used to braking at like 5 boards and 4 boards, not 2s and 1s, you know? it's just so much lighter of a car that you can brake so much later and the car will just comply. And in the NASCAR, he said that the wheels will really hop a lot and they'll kind of skip along the surface of the track.
Yeah, you called it something like smashing the brake or something. It was really interesting the way you described it. Did Jimmy pick up on that after that? Was he able to adapt quickly to that technique?
Yeah, he was a very quick learner. I guess I could say that.
Yeah.
he got up to the times really quick, and I was really surprised on how fast he did it.
And you said you still keep in touch with him too, right?
Yeah, I talk to him every once in a while. Sometimes I ask him a few questions, or like I'll just be like, "Hey, how's it going?" Just staying in touch. And
so, go ahead.
He gives me advice sometimes. Like sometimes I'll ask him for some advice, and he's a really nice guy. Like he's so laid back, and he's like, "What's up, dude?" And I'm like, "Oh, how's it going?"
Yeah, he really is. He is super humble. That's so. What is the future for Hunter Yeaney? Are you looking at Formula One or are you looking at IndyCar?
The primary goal would be to get to Formula One. But I mean, if anything ever came up in IndyCar, then that's a good opportunity too, and I'd be willing to take it.
Oh, I imagine you would. I know you have a lot of people that help you out, so I want to give you a minute here to get through your sponsors, your team, talk about who helps you make it all happen, man.
Yeah, I'd like to thank 30 Seconds Out for being with me from the beginning. Hoist, Defend, VRD, Dan Mitchell, my mom and dad, and my two sisters for putting up with me.
Are you that hard to put up with? You that hard to live with that you got to thank your sisters?
We're scared that if he forgets him, he's going to get beat up for it.
With all my traveling, they're just like, "Oh, you have to leave again?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I do." And they're like, "Okay."
All right. So when's your next race?
My next race is in VIR, and I think it's September 24th. Yeah, starting September 24th.
So a home track event, basically, for you. That should be fun. A lot of your family and friends get to go.
Yeah, that's my all-time favorite track that I've drove on so far over here in the U.S. I just really like how fast it is, and I really like fast tracks where you have to kind of be a little bit more on the edge than a technical track. And it's quite an elevated track as well. It goes up and down a fair share.
Okay, about 20 seconds. Where can fans follow you?
Oh, what'd you say?
Where can fans follow you? Social media, about 20 seconds.
Oh, and they can follow me on Facebook at Hunter Yaney Racing, or just Hunter Yaney. And on Instagram, you can follow me at Hunter Yaney, no spaces and no caps.
All right, keep your eye on this young man, Hunter Yaney. He is going somewhere, I promise you. That whole team, we're going to have Nico Christodoulou on next week's show, one of his teammates. He's a Canadian, eh? And he should be a lot of fun as well. Back with more of the madness right after these words.
Parents, your son or daughter has had their license for a while now, but you want to make sure they're prepared for any situation they may face on the road. High school driver's ed doesn't teach them to drive defensively. They need to be prepared for any highway emergency. For less than a month's insurance, and a whole lot less, BSR instructors at Summit Point Motorsports Park in nearby Summit Point, West Virginia, will teach your son or daughter how to respond instantly and positively to unexpected situations on the road. BSR's specialized accident avoidance training teaches swerve to avoid maneuvers at highway speed, ocular driving, which focuses driving attention on ways to avoid accidents, vehicle dynamics and feedback, skid control and skid recovery, threshold braking on straights and progressive braking on curves, and off-road recovery techniques. This is stuff driver's ed simply doesn't teach. So call BSR today, 304-725-8444. Give your kid the skill set needed to drive safely and responsibly on the highway. That's 304-725-8444.
You hear that? That's the sound of America's only sports car. That's right, it's a Corvette. But not just any Corvette.
It's your Corvette. It's that who cares if there's traffic part of your day. And this can be you when you come to Cooper Corvettes. With 60 years of Corvettes to choose from, there's always a Corvette in your budget. And they'll service any Corvette you bring in. Cooper Corvettes on Route 1 just north of Quantico and Triangle. Call, click, or visit CooperCorvettes.com.
Victory Custom Trailers is the place to go for your next new or used trailer or coach. Being personally involved in the racing community allows Victory to fully understand what racers need in a trailer. They have over 200 coaches and trailers in stock for a variety of industries, and they can serve anyone in the continental U.S. If you're looking for something custom, they can assist in designing a trailer to fit your needs. Check out their entire inventory online at victorycustomtrailers.com.
Hi, this is John Ondrasik of Five for Fighting, here for RAD, the entertainment industry's voice for road safety. You know, style is a personal thing, and your lifestyle is your business. But if you take it on the road, it becomes everybody's business. So please, plan ahead, designate before you celebrate. Friends, don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
When Marlon Shirley was 5 years old, he was in an accident and lost his foot, but he didn't lose his heart.
When you tackle a challenge that you just cannot even fathom tackling, when you accomplish that, the amount of integrity and the will and the heart that you'll get from that experience is what will set you up for your life.
In less time than it took Marlon Shirley to say that, he can now run 100 meters because today he's the world's fastest amputee. Overcome. Pass it on from the Foundation for a Better Life at Values.com.
Hi, this is Carter Sarp, and you're listening to Motorsports Madness. Now, back to the show.
Okay, welcome back to Motorsports Madness. We continue with another episode, and we were talking NASCAR for a little while. We interrupted ourselves to let Hunter join us, and fun to talk to him. He's a driver, like I said, that I feel like definitely has a future.
Now we can get back to the point that we were making before I spun you out. Knoxville Nationals.
Okay, we'll go there too. I'm game to talk whatever. We'll talk Knoxville Nationals for a minute. The big
I promise
story.
We don't just make topics up and throw them on a dartboard.
Sure, we
do.
It's more fun that way. Just go wherever the show takes us. So, well, Aaron Reitzel got an early exit, you might say, from the Knoxville Nationals.
That's one way to put it.
Yeah.
He doesn't even have to go.
You get a free pass home.
He done been DQ'd. Really, he's just been suspended for 30 days from the World of Outlaws for, how do we even put this? So when you have a chassis that has not been inspected and approved yet by the World of Outlaws, and you pull a sticker off of a chassis that has, and you put it on the chassis that hasn't, and you go try to race with it, and the
what
World of Outlaws officials see it, you get DQ'd. You get
the messed up.
The simple version is he had his cars built at Hendrick. That's pretty much it.
I mean, like we talk about, you look at Chase Elliott's penalty and Chris Bell's penalty in the Cup Series over the weekend. When you start modifying cars and you start messing with the exterior of cars. Okay, I don't care if you're Chase Elliott, you're Chris Bell, who it is. It may not affect you on the track, but here's the deal with this. Why? What are these people thinking? Cheating is so obvious.
I mean, they got him good.
When you do it, you can see if you've changed the angle on a spoiler or on some part of the car, or in this case, the chassis. You had the sticker on a chassis that wasn't approved. They're going to see it.
Everybody's probably wondering why we're laughing. Tom, I applaud you for powering through that.
Yeah, great
Randy
job.
Hit his funny bone on the desk, and the entire 1.4 million audience heard him go, ow.
I heard that, and I chose to carry on.
I couldn't hold it in, and you just like, ow.
I didn't know if we were going to have to call my computer career to reboot Randy's elbow.
You have to call a surgeon. That hurt.
It was...
I literally hit the hardest part of the... I felt like Erickson on Sunday.
It was kind of depressing, actually.
It was a little, I was getting the sympathy vote.
It was just Ow.
Yeah, just sort of laid it out there. It hurt. Yeah, well, we hope you feel better.
Anyway, I will eventually, but thanks for your
I'm sure you'll recover faster than Aaron Reitzel will from the 30-day vacation he
just got. Hurts him more is not necessarily the fact that he got the suspension, the $10,000 fine. It's the fact that he's going to miss the biggest sprint car race in the whole entire year where you can make $50,000 if you win it.
Just stupid. I mean, just stupid. It's like, why do teams do this stuff? I don't understand. And it's always teams at the all these teams at the top level of the sport.
And what like, I mean,
short track teams, you know, they can't afford the penalty.
For
the record, I know Aaron used to run at my local track back in Texas, so he's a Texas boy. So,
Aaron may not have known anything about it.
He wouldn't do it on purpose, but at the same time, he knows better.
So. He runs for Roth Motorsports. We don't know that Aaron anything about it.
For the next 30 days, he doesn't.
You know, yeah. Well, I mean, not for World of Outlaws. Just go run the All-Star Circuit or something.
The only thing
mean,
he's going to run over the next 30 days is bathwater.
It's just it's just funny. Like I said, it's if you're going to cheat, at least don't make it obvious. You know, I mean, it's make it so it's, you know, we've had some of the classics.
Common sense is not so common these days.
Apparently it isn't because we've had classic cases of cheating over the years and just things that you read about that these teams used to do. If you watch the Dale Jr. Download long enough, you'll hear all the stories. I mean, you know.
I like to call it innovation, though, not cheating.
Yeah, Dale calls it, Jr. calls it innovation. But I mean, you know, just things that they did back in the 70s and 80s and you'd really have to search hard to find it. You know, now it's like they need Andy Petrie to teach a course on how to cheat the right way because
or Ray Evernham.
Ray Evernham
or Chad Knaus.
Gary Nelson, Chad Knaus, you need those guys cuz like they at least made it hard to find.
RCR isn't winning that much anymore. I don't know if Andy Petrie's up with the knowledge anymore.
Oh, he knows how. You just can't do some of the things he used to do. I mean, they had some He had a couple of doozies that he pulled when he owned his own team and even was crew chiefing for Jackson there the Skoll team back in the day. I mean they had some whoppers it to the point where Andy's so honest that. You know, they would come and look, and of course, they wouldn't find what he had, but he'd be standing there in the tech line. He said, I must have looked so guilty because, you know, he just was sweating bullets that they weren't going to. But you really had to look hard if you were going to find, you know, the stuff they used to do. Now it's like, you know, we cheat with the exterior of the body. Like, there's all kinds of ways to see this stuff and measure it. You're not going to get away with it.
Well, especially with the computer systems and stuff they have now that can just measure tolerances just by like a that. Like,
oh yeah,
you're not gonna see anything.
Well, it's just you know the discotheque and NASCAR in this case what Reitzel did and Roth Motorsports did when again substituting a chassis.
You could shine a flashlight on that sticker and know it's not that good.
Rip the sticker off a legal car and put it on an illegal.
I mean,
it's clearly tampered with.
In this age of 3D printing, can you just print another sticker and make it? I mean, it would be a little less likely obvious than trying to peel one off and put it on another.
I just take a picture of the sticker and make my own. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, go ahead.
All right. So back to NASCAR. We've been trying to get to the Cup Series and Indy and Road Course.
We're all somewhere in Turn 7 in Nashville.
Larson, yeah. and Larson again getting a win this past weekend at the Glen. Chase Elliott, of course, after having the penalty and having to start in the back for altering the basically the window area
the shark
of the car.
Fin.
Yeah, the shark fin. You know, he still came up and finished second. And, of course, you know, you could say, well, he might have won if he hadn't made this mistake or that mistake. But the reality is that Kyle Larson was pretty doggone good. And
cough, cough. Christopher Bell should have won. Cough, cough.
Well, I mean, you know, Christopher Bell there again. It's like, you know.
That's the most humble I've ever seen somebody who got dumped in turn one.
Well.
Like he was like, you know, it's whatever.
He all he said was the truth. He was just like, yeah, I mean, he shouldn't have been in there. Even Kyle said he wasn't there enough.
Well, yeah, Kyle took full responsibility,
Kyle
which
did.
I thought
yeah,
was classy.
He apologized immediately.
You know? Yeah, I mean,
well, Chris didn't even sound like he was mad. He was like, oh, whatever, it's just racing.
Well, he still finished 7th. I'm sure he finished 27th.
Well, and I think if it would have been anybody other than Kyle Larson, he probably would have been more mad. But the fact that he knows he can get Kyle back at some point in the next week or so because they're racing every day together.
And to be roommates.
And if, exactly. And if Chris Bell was going for his first win and Kyle Larson, who has won 4, just went in there and cleaned him out, I'm sure he would have been a lot more mad. It's just circumstantial, you know?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, it's cold hard racing. Yeah. I mean, really. It's just hard to...
And ultimately, if you watch the video from that turn, Larson was on the curbs. He couldn't get more further to the right.
I mean, I felt like Chris could have given him more room.
He could have, yeah.
Honestly. And I think the broadcast team kind of echoed that sentiment.
But like Chris said, if he's setting up for the corner, you know, Kyle Larson, they had even talked about how Kyle Larson had had the run on him coming out of 7 every time. And he didn't that time, so he was just setting up for the corner, and then all of a sudden there was a 5 car there.
Yeah.
So
at least he wasn't running over his own teammate.
I mean, Will Power, like,
or Brad Keselowski.
Brad Keselowski.
Yeah,
slammed the brakes
on Logano twice.
Yeah, twice.
Twice.
Two and a half times,
yeah, because he was involved in the other caution, too.
Yeah, and actually thinking about that, it was all Penske guys, Will Power at Nashville and Keselowski.
Yeah, Sunday was not good for
Keselowski. Keselowski was out to lunch. I mean, going into turn one, just locking up the brakes so hard to where you rear-end Joey Logano, and I'm not talking about you put your bumper, you hit him with your rear end.
He gave me the Heimlich.
Yeah.
Literally.
Can you imagine, if I'm Joey Logano at that point and I just get hit by Brad Keselowski facing the other way, I'm just throwing my hands up like, why are you, what?
So, I have a question.
What are you doing?
Can you drive the 6 next week?
At what point in the season do you know, so obviously Brad's not going to be teammate next year, at what point in the season are you okay with punching him in the face? Because he's not going to be your teammate next year anyways, so.
He
has nothing to lose.
If that move was for the win, then I'd say last Sunday.
No. Yeah, you might spit him for a win, but you're not punching him.
Can I go to the boss and be like, at what point during the course of the next 10 races is he not going to be my teammate anymore? Can I just dump him?
If you're going into the championship round for the champion, like if Brad somehow works his way into the final four and Joey's there too and something happens between the two, you might see something, but.
Yeah. They still got to race each other for years to come.
And if you're on
out.
Team Penske, Penske won't put up with it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, that was a really bad day for Roger. I didn't think about that. But, yeah, both races, teammates taken out by other teammates.
Keselowski went bowling. He got a perfect strike.
Well, Power got 2 at Nashville. He took out 2 of his teammates. And it just, again, just way over his head. But that was crazy. And, you know, I feel like going into Indy, we're kind of setting up here for a real interesting playoff battle still between the two RCR cars as well, because they finished close enough at
I think
the Reddick
has an 18-point lead now.
15. Yeah. 15. Oh, was it 15? I thought it was 18, too. I feel like this Indy race could be a toss-up here between the two of them, because both of them are pretty good road racers, and I mean, again, they weren't that far apart, Peter.
Actually, Austin Dillon's surprisingly never scored a top 10 on a road course, while Reddick has.
Yeah, but he's been fast, just hasn't had the results to show for the performance. Back with more madness in a minute.
When do you think of a plumber? Like most people, even if it's an emergency, you can be confident about who will arrive to help you. For quality and reliability, count on someone you can trust. Call on the plumbing services of Hague Quality Water of Maryland. Plumbing doesn't have to be an emergency. We handle all kinds of preventative maintenance, too. Hague Quality Water of Maryland is family-owned here in Annapolis since 1993. For a refreshing choice, call us at 888-84-WATER or visit us online.
Here at Lewis Meineke, we're more than just your average car care center. Hey, it's Dave, your neighbor from Lewis Meineke. Whether you need an oil change, brakes, tires, or anything under the hood, we've got you covered. Take advantage of our free check engine light service as well. Yes, free. And don't forget about our free shuttle service. Never stress, we'll take care of the rest. On with life. Give us a call at Lewis Meineke, 302-827-2054.
Victory Custom Trailers is the place to go for your next new or used trailer or coach. Being personally involved in the racing community allows Victory to fully understand what racers need in a trailer. They have over 200 coaches and trailers in stock for a variety of industries, and they can serve anyone in the continental U.S. If you're looking for something custom, they can assist in designing a trailer to fit your needs. Check out their entire inventory online at victorycustomtrailers.com.
Do you love the sound of high revving motors and the smell of burning rubber? Do you want to get your car sideways right at the ragged edge of control? If you've always wanted to try drifting or learn to improve your drifting skills, Summit Point Motorsports Park, the Mid-Atlantic's premier motorsports facility, has the expert instructors and the specialized track to teach you how to drift and the skills necessary to drift competitively. From skid pad to open sessions, Summit Point Motorsports Park has the safe and open environment that allows drifters of all skill levels, new to intermediate, to get sideways and smoking. With a focus on safety and the skill set necessary to drift competitively, Summit Point Motorsports Park's Drift Nirvana is just the thing for you. Call for your reservation today, 304-725-8444. Or for more information, go online, summitpoint-raceway.com, or you can email them at office@bsrinc.com. Drift Nirvana, getting you sideways the right way.
If you own a gun, you have a full-time responsibility. When you aren't using it, be sure it can't get into the hands of curious children, troubled teenagers, a thief, or anyone else who might misuse it. Your family, friends, and neighbors are all counting on you. Remember, always lock it up. For more information on firearm storage safety, visit ncpc.org. This message brought to you by the National Crime Prevention Council, the Bureau of Justice Assistance, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Brian Wiedemann, and you're listening to Motorsports Madness. Now, back to the show.
This show is brought to you by MyComputerCareer.edu, training for a better life. If you are looking for a change in your career, maybe you're just looking for a first career, MyComputerCareer might be your answer. Go to their website, MyComputerCareer.edu, and check out their free career evaluation. It is IT training, and IT is one of the fastest growing fields still, and should be growing right through the 2020s and beyond. There are far more demand for qualified, skilled workers in that field than there are workers to fill the positions that are open. So this is how it works and how easy it is. Go to their website. Check it out, MyComputerCareer.edu. If you decide that you might want to go forward with IT training, well, it's just as easy as this. Financial aid is available if you qualify, including the GI Bill. You can do your training 1 to 2 days a week online. That's it. You don't even have to leave your house. You can do it in your PJs if you want. And gosh, it's really easy. Within 4 to 6 months, you could be out in the field working. And by the way, when you're ready for that step, My Computer Career will work with hundreds of employers to get you placed. So this is not rocket science. You don't have to be a math or science whiz, nor do you have to be a computer whiz. It's My Computer Career. It's training for a better life. Check them out, MyComputerCareer.edu. And so far, none of us tonight have had to be rebooted, though Randy and I have been close. Welcome back to the show as we continue final long segment here. And I picked up something earlier today that I thought was interesting. I had not heard or seen anything of this until today, but apparently there is at least some conjecture that Haley Deegan might spend some time next year in NASCAR's Xfinity Series. Peter Strada, is she ready?
She's not ready for a full Xfinity slate, no. It sounds like she will run full-time trucks again next year, which is the right move, and then maybe a couple select Xfinity starts, which, depending on the track, maybe a super speedway or a road course would be the right move, just to get her seat time, get her experience in a full-body stock car on whichever circuit, whichever racetrack. But I actually am for this if it's in a quality car. I mean, you look at the Ford seats in Xfinity. You have Stuart Haas, then you have Ryan Sieg, and maybe Penske if they're still around next year. And that's really it. But, I mean, if she can be in a Stuart Haas Xfinity car next year, I'm all for that. It gets her seat time with a high-caliber, high-quality team.
That brings up an interesting potential question, but I'll get to that in a minute. Randy, Haley Deegan, ready or not ready for Xfinity?
Do the soft walls have any give to them? I'm just curious. Like, when you hit the wall, do you don't bounce,
that
right?
Was harsh.
Well, I mean, look, I mean, let's face facts. I mean, it's not like she set the world on fire. Now, granted, sometimes you go to a different series and you're a completely different person in the other series than you were the previous series. So maybe she's just not a truck series competitor. Maybe in the Xfinity series she would be a whole lot better off because it's more inclined to what she would drive on a, you know, on normal basis or what she's used to doing in her, you know, throughout the course of her life before she got into trucks. So maybe she just needs a change of scenery and a different kind of car and she'll be good. So who knows?
See, that's what I think too. The trucks are a completely different animal. Much more side force kind of stuff than you're used to seeing in the cars. I think that Haley in an Xfinity car would be more comfortable because it would be more like the car she's used to in the ARCA series and in, well, I guess it's all ARCA now. I was going to say K&N West, but it's ARCA West now. I believe that it would be like a homecoming for her in a way, and she probably would do better there, as you said, Randy, than maybe she has in the truck series. Now, with that being said, Peter mentioned Stuart Haas. Now, we can toss this question around because right now Riley Herbst is in the midst of, I believe, a one-year deal at Stuart Haas is all he signed to run the 98 car in Xfinity. So if Haley Deegan were to go to Stuart Haas, do they maybe create a part-time second car, or
they'll just bring back the 00.
Potentially. Or do you think that there's a chance that we may see a rotating cast next year in that 98 car as opposed to Riley running full season? Is there any chance Riley is not in that car a second year?
I think Riley would want to stay in that car a second year just to learn the culture over there, learn the series still, learn these cars, just learn the team and every aspect of that.
Well, the question wasn't so much what he wants to. I'm
sure
the answer to that is okay.
I'm sure he'll stay in the car. I mean, he's 12th in points. He's in the playoffs right now. He's not doing too bad his first year. He's got some feeling out. He was wrecking quite a lot in the first half of the season. He sort of toned it down, and he's sort of figuring it out now. And sometimes it takes a while to learn those cars, and he's certainly been put to the test. I think if anything, if Haley's going to end up in the Xfinity series, she'll either end up in that 22 car or a part-time 00.
It's interesting to contemplate because, of course, Haley, and we need to make this distinction, Haley is a Ford development driver. You know, unlike other drivers in sort of the Ford camp, so to speak, who are young and up and coming, there's only one left, because Chase Briscoe's in Cup now, there's only one left that's actually a Ford-backed development driver, and that's Haley Deegan, as of this moment at least. And so whatever Ford wanted to do with her, Randy, they certainly would just make the way to do it, but it does make you think because, of course, there's, you know, some conjecture about whether Penske's going to keep the 22 going now that Austin Cindric is going up to Cup next year to drive the Blue Deuce. What do you think? Where does she go? If she's going to run some Xfinity races, where does she go? Because I have an idea, but let's see what you think.
I mean, I could see her at really any of the Ford teams, but, I mean, obviously you've got to think about the sponsorship aspect of it, too. Monster Energy sponsors both her and Riley, so I mean, there's a possibility that, you know, Monster could want to split the ride in half and kind of go with the better driver at the end. But, yeah, I think there's room enough in the Xfinity Series garage area for both of them to compete. They could both keep the same sponsor and still make everybody happy. And I mean, who knows? Stuart Haas, Penske, there's a couple of options there.
Yeah, there's some interesting options there, I think. And, you know, the idea of something working out with Penske. But again, this is a Ford situation. So whether Ford decides to put her with a Stuart Haas or with, Penske, I think there are some interesting options there for her. I would wonder if there's not maybe another team that might end up in the Ford camp next year that would be an opportunity for her as well. Because the one thing that we know is that eventually she's going to end up in the Cup Series. Now, so follow me on this, because this was my thought. We know that there's no openings at Penske for a good while. That's just that there's no openings there.
We don't know for a good while. We know for the next 2 years. Blaney could move. Logano could move.
I don't see either one of them going anywhere.
We didn't see Brad moving either.
Okay, now hang on. So here we go. So we do know, however, that Roush is rebuilding their program. There have been rumors that they might want to jump into Xfinity next year, at least part-time. So could we see some Ford bucks going into Roush Fenway now that Brad's going over there?
No.
And Haley Deegan part-time in their Xfinity car?
No. You wouldn't want to be building a program with a freshly green driver. She'd wreck too many cars.
Well, I don't think that's the case. I don't believe that she goes to Xfinity and we assume she crashes a lot of cars.
I mean, just look at Harrison Burton. He made the jump to Xfinity without any major truck success. He missed the playoffs in trucks the 1 year he
Cas
ran.
Grala, there
and
been
last
a number
year
of...
he won four Xfinity races.
That's all well and good, but Harrison drove for Joe Gibbs Racing. You're talking about a team that hasn't been in the Xfinity Series for many years in Roush, and you're going to try to jumpstart that program with a brand new driver. I don't see it.
Or it's Haley and some other drivers. Maybe
Brad,
a Benedetto,
maybe
somebody
Newman.
Like
is
that.
Is there?
No, probably not Newman.
I was contemplating the idea because, like you said, Haley is the only driver right now left in that Ford developmental camp. Do you see anybody that could make the jump, or do you see anybody in the ARCA series that could be, coming up? And, obviously Taylor Gray is somebody that could take that one truck next year, and it could be the Tanner and Taylor show.
well, yeah, you could. I feel like there's an interesting opportunity.
Priest could drop down to the 17.
You have to remember here that when you look at Haley Deegan, she brings with her a huge fan base. And there's an interesting opportunity, I think, to put her somewhere with other drivers that could be to make a full season out of an Xfinity car. So I think this opens up a number of interesting possibilities, and I would not count Roush out of that boat at all. I don't see Roger Penske running a part-time team. I just don't think Roger feels he needs to do that, and I don't think he's got plenty of money.
Depends on if Ford's going to give him more money.
Well, I don't know.
If Ford's putting the entire bill, I guess.
I was going to say, if they were willing to just basically hear you run the team, then I suppose he would. But if it's costing him,
they did for Briscoe when Briscoe was in the Xfinity series.
Yeah. But there were other Xfinity. He was part of a program. He wasn't the program. So that would be interesting, though. There's some good discussion still to be had, I think, about silly season. And Haley moving up does present some interesting possibilities, just like Cas Grala being a hanging Chad right now presents some interesting possibilities.
He's hanging out with Natalie Decker.
I did hear some rumors that the 37 could be opening up. Ryan Preece could be going to the 17 and going after a tour championship in the modified. So,
well, I mean, if he could work both things out, I could see that happening. I don't think Ryan's ever been tied to the Cup Series in the way that others are. I think Ryan is a driver.
He just wants to race.
He wants to win.
Yeah.
And, I don't think he sees himself doing that where he is.
Mm-hmm. And he could go on a very John Hunter-esque type run if he drops back and goes into the Ford Developmental Series with the 17 and works his way up through that. And, you say a new team, DGR could be looking to get – could go to the Xfinity Series at some point.
Well, never know. I mean, they could, but I don't think you're going to see many teams make that jump now, because especially with the cost of the Cup Series decreasing the way that it is with the newer cars. And I think the other thing with Ryan is more road courses in Cup doesn't equal Ryan Preece being happy, because I don't think he
really
cares.
And we also haven't heard anything on the driver lineup for GMS.
That's a very good point for their new Cup program.
Which we still don't even know if that'll be part-time or full-time or
chartered. Yeah, they've not announced any of that. And it really kind of does make you wonder about what's up over there. You wonder if there's not a really big shoe that might drop in that situation.
Well, Rick Ware did
it's
say
almost
it recently.
Too quiet.
Rick Ware did say it recently on SiriusXM that he will run two competitive cars next year. Now, he has four charters, so that...
What's competitive to him?
Yeah, exactly. First of all, what's competitive? Second of all, that means getting rid of at least two charters, so could one of those charters go to GMS?
It'll take him 10 months longer.
Matt DiBenedetto.
Well, see, there again, now with the cost decreasing next year of the Cup Series... Rick Ware could run two competitive cars. If he concentrated on just two cars and left it at that, Rick Ware could make himself somewhat competitive. It would be interesting to see that. Okay, back to wrap things up here at Motorsports Madness in a moment.
You own a performance car and you know how to drive, but you want to learn real performance driving. Well, Bunky, get that car off the street and onto the track. Summit Point Motorsports Park, the Mid-Atlantic's premier road racing facility, located just over an hour from D.C. in nearby Summit Point, West Virginia, is the place to go. And you'll find that Friday at the track is going to give you what you need. For less than a monthly car payment, you can attend this regularly scheduled one-day instructional event in your street car on one of Summit Point's three world-class road racing circuits. You'll receive classroom instruction, skid pad instruction in their cars, including front and rear skid control, and 4 20-minute in your car instructional sessions from a professional instructor. Have fun, go fast, and really learn how to drive. Call 304-725-8444 for class schedules and details. That's 304-725-8444. Friday at the track at Summit Point Motorsports Park.
Motorsports Sales Professionals. Performance Motorsports is looking to build a team of experienced media sales professionals to represent our programming to the industry's top companies, magazines, and racing series. If you have motorsports sales or marketing experience, know how to work with agencies, understand social media, and are incredibly creative when it comes to working with clients and promotions, then we want to hear from you. Top performers are richly rewarded. Your imagination is the only limit here. Call 717-749-0444. That's 717-749-0444. Or email us at scorpionradiogroup@gmail.com. You want to ask for Sue.
Is your job sucking the life out of you? Wake up! You can do something else. Information technology. I know what you're thinking, but I'm not a math and science person. No problem, and no excuses. Because it's not rocket science, it's My Computer Career. Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation today. You could start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months. Mycomputercareer.edu, that's mycomputercareer.edu.
The Performance Motorsports Network is a compilation of shows about motorsports. From technical to controversial to just fun, everything you like about racing and gearhead stuff is right here on one internet channel. The Performance Motorsports Network. Tell your friends about it.
Hi, I'm Reed Sorensen. Racing has been a part of me and my family for as long as I can remember. I had to make tough choices early on to get to the top. It took hard work and dedication. But it's those tough choices that help me prepare for challenges I would face as a Cup driver. Make the right choices today and be ready for the challenges tomorrow. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Air Force.
Hi, this is Blake Brandon, and you're listening to Motorsports Madness. Now back to the show.
Back back for the wrap-up of Motorsports Madness here tonight. And again, just focusing on the fact that Indy becomes the center of attention again. Anytime Indy is the center of attention for any racing reason, it's great with me. And I just feel like that's going to be the place to focus this weekend. F1's still on break. But Indy with NASCAR's series and then, of course, the IndyCar race. Looking forward to that probably more than anything else this weekend. Randy, what are you excited about?
I'm excited to see the doubleheader. It's cool to be able to see the NASCAR and IndyCar guys both on the same course, and it's just going to generate so much buzz. And you know, Indy's on a high right now, and NASCAR's on a high right now, so it'll be interesting.
Peter,
I'm excited to see the crossover as well. Just which NASCAR guys end up in the IndyCar garage and watch the IndyCar race and vice versa. COVID kind of killed a lot of this last year on July 4th. I'm excited to see who stays around and watches who race. And maybe if this becomes a yearly tradition, who races in different races.
I'm hoping there's a lot of fan turnover. People who stay for the IndyCar race will stay for the
Cup. Oh, race. Yeah, I hope so, too. And again, I think it could be a big weekend. I think Roger Penske would like to do a festival-type deal similar to what they had in Nashville. And I think next year you're going to see a much different IndyCar schedule, more ovals and more very different things. Okay, that's it. We're out of here. Thanks for listening to Motorsports Madness. Thanks to My Computer Career. Have a great week.
You've been listening to Motorsports Madness powered by MyComputerCareer.edu, training for a better life. You can be an IT professional in as little as 4 months. Visit MyComputerCareer.edu and take the free career evaluation test today. Motorsports Madness, a Race Chaser Media production. For more exciting and passionate motorsports content, follow Race Chaser Media on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube, and visit RaceChaserMedia.com. The opinions expressed by our guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, affiliates, or marketing partners of Race Chaser Media. No part of this show may be reproduced in any manner without the expressed written consent of Race Chaser Media. Thank you for listening.